Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson, and you're listening to Texas Outdoor News, brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Today we'll be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more. Well, hope everybody's having a great weekend. Big Bill's running solo this weekend. My little buddy's off somewhere, parts unknown. But we have got what I think is a phenomenal and will be a very interesting show for all of you that fish the Texas coast, particularly the Texas Middle Coast. Megan Robillard, Program Manager of Sport Fish Center at the Heart Research Institute, Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi, will be joining me later in the program. She did the studies of Packery Channel, and then was the leader on the Cedar Bio restoration. Two of the most important reconnections from the Gulf into our estuary system that has been done in recent memory. So we visited earlier in the week, and just some really interesting information that has been brought to light, and we want to share that with you. Plus, we've got some news. My goodness, it's a week that we can actually maybe decompress a little bit after a very contentious political side on the Republican side. Plus, we've got things going on here in the Lone Star State. So y'all stick around, and remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors. This is Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn, inviting you to join Don Armstrong and me for the Automotive Reporter. For over 13 years, the country's most informative auto show. An hour of news, interviews, product reviews, and motorsports. We'll be testing the newest cars and trucks and bring you major guests from the automotive industry. Visit AutomotiveReporter.com for a list of our stations, play the latest programs, and more. While there, download the free Stitcher Smart Radio app and listen to us anywhere, anytime on your computer or smartphone. That's AutomotiveReporter.com.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson flying solo this weekend. I do appreciate you making this show a part of your weekend plans. Well, I tell you what, no better time to head to the outdoors than after the weeks and months that we've had listening to all of the slams and other slams in the political arena, and finally the presumptive nominee on the Republican side, Donald Trump, will try to bring conservatives and Republicans together. I'm amazed at the comments from the group saying never Trump that would, number one, vote for Hillary Clinton if she's not been indicted, or Bernie Sanders, and take this country continue it down a path that has been going on for the past 8 years. I really think that the country is so poised that we're tired of both sides and the nonsense that we've had to put up with. And it will be interesting to see how this country, and particularly that from center to the right of center, middle of the road folks, come together and hopefully back Donald Trump in his bid for the presidency against Hillary Clinton. Otherwise, folks, we're in for more of the same. Here is a thought, and this is one of these I heard from a buddy of mine that heard from someone else that heard from somewhere else, this suggestion of an idea of how to bring the party together. And, of course, the big talk is about who Trump is going to have as a VP candidate. And, of course, all of those that have dropped out that ran for president have been mentioned, including Ted Cruz. But what about this wrinkle? John Kasich, everybody is saying you got to have Ohio. All right. I'm not a big Kasich fan, but I could buy him as the VP choice if Trump said my nominee to the vacancy on the Supreme Court will be Ted Cruz. Now, wow. That just kind of blew me away. A true, you know, constitutionalist, always there. Looking at the Constitution first, that has some merit. We'll see if it grows any legs anywhere and moves forward. We do have some news in the outdoor arena that we want to share with you. And the National Instant Background Check. For the month of April, out once again a 14.4% increase compared to April 2015. That is an increase of 1,130,238. So we continue to buy. Speaking of shooting and other things, coming up in Louisville, Kentucky, May 20th through the 22nd, the 2016 National Rifle Association annual meeting and exhibits will take place. Those of you that remember just a few years ago, I believe about three or four years ago, that show was in Houston. Huge, huge event. If you have a reason to travel, go see it. Really, really quite interesting. Lots and lots of major manufacturers there. Our friends at the Dallas Safari Club have responded to an event that occurred last week, and that was the burning of $105 million worth of ivory by the Kenyan government. And Dallas Safari Club states that they hold steadfast in its long-term opposition to the destruction of ivory as a means to combat poaching, which is the impetus behind burning the ivory. This ivory was stored, stockpiled, confiscated from poaching incidents, and that they were going to burn it so that it did not fall into hands or go out into the open market. Okay, understand that. But I'm not sure that that's – I agree with Dallas Safari Club. There should be a better utilization of that. The penalties on the crime, but utilize what's been confiscated for something good. On the animal side. So just something to think about. But proud of the folks at the Dallas Safari Club, Ben Carter and others for speaking up and making a stand. Many times we don't see that from our conservation groups. They will ride the fence so as not to oppose. Coming up later in the month, we've got the long Memorial Day weekend, the first major holiday of summer. And if you plan on doing some camping, let me pitch this. I've mentioned it a few times over the past recent weeks. Go to Camping Max. That has two X's in it. Camping Max, MAXX.com. And check out my friend Jerry's website. Probably, without a doubt, the most reasonable prices if you're looking for some tents. Significant savings. Four-person tent, $175, regular $550, a six-person tent, $200, regular $650. Sleeping bags for different times of the year for just few dollars. I mean, heck of a deal. Go to campingmaxmaxx.com, and you can check out Texas Outdoors Journal back in our guides and gear section. There is a discount, or mention that when you call or you place your order. Texas Parks and Wildlife is taking public comment on proposed deer management rules. This is in the public registry. I read it, and it made my head hurt trying to figure out all the legalese. But the bottom line is this has to do with kind of surrounding the chronic wasting disease and the management plan with respect to the artificial movement of deer under TPWD permits, including triple T, trap, transport, and transplant. The deer management permit and the trap, transport, and process, and deer breeders. Anyway, this information, you can go to the Texas Outdoors Journal website on our homepage, and the website is there. Take a look at it. It'll direct you to the page in the public registry if you want to know what is being proposed, and then you will have the opportunity to comment. Here is something that is kind of different. You know, a few years ago, back when you wanted an ag exemption, you had to run cattle on your property. We saw that in the 70s and 80s. And then there was legislation that if you managed your property for wildlife, you could get a ag exemption, tax exemption. Well, now, evidently, there is an opportunity for those landowners that are protecting native insect pollinators on private property could qualify for an agricultural tax exemption. With 95% of Texas lands privately owned, rather interesting, but certainly these pollinators, native insects, are important to pollinate wildflowers and agricultural crops. So, you know, it is something to certainly consider. Those of you that love to fish offshore like I do, good news, because it means we're not that far off from even better news. What I mean by that is on May 15th, the shrimp season will close, and it will reopen at some time, as it says, to be determined in the future. And usually that's around sometime in July. Usually it's around July 15th. It's about a 60-day closing. Basically what happens is the average size and abundance of brown shrimp is currently greater than the 20-year average this year. Yay for the freshwater runoff. And this allows the shrimp to grow to an even more valuable size. Of course, the better news that I refer to is that come mid-July, when the season reopens, all those shrimp boats become targets for all the mosquito fleet to run offshore and fish behind them, around them, alongside of them as they're pulling their nets, and some great, great fishing can be had. All right, going to take a break. When we come back, going to get into the outdoor report. Lots going on there, so stick around.
America's best-selling truck, 39 years running, is Ford. These people work hard every day to build the best trucks, trucks you need, trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. But you're not going to see them celebrate these 39 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them, it's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday, that's how they will build them today, and most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 39 years, Ford's F-Series, built Ford Tough, the best in Texas.
Here's to the winners from the 27th CCA Texas Star Tournament, sponsored by Texas Ford Dealers, Tilson Homes, and Capital Farm Credit. If you enter by April 29th, you could win a Targo boat, Mercury Motor McLean Trader package worth $40,000. Just ask Terry Sharp.
As the saying goes, the early bird gets the boat. Thank you, CCA.
Plus, you can still fish the tournament featuring $1 million worth of other great prizes from sponsors like Texas Ford Dealers, Tilson Homes, Capital Farm Credit, Academy Sports and Outdoors, Mercury Marine, Whataburger, Rio Ammunition, LP Building Products, Hot Power Polaris. Sign up by April 29th at participating Academy Sports and Outdoors stores, local bait camps, and marinas. Information available at participating Ford dealers or go to startournament.org. But hurry, because as the saying goes, the early bird gets the boat.
Love. At Shriners Hospitals for Children, love provides care to those in need. It fuels the desire to discover medical breakthroughs. Love motivates our compassionate staff, our renowned medical physicians, and volunteers who are all dedicated to caring for children. At Shriners Hospitals for Children, love comes to the rescue every day as we work to restore the joys of childhood. To offer your love and support to children in need, call 1-800-241-GIFT.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. It's time for the Outdoor Report. And, boy, much of our conversation when it comes to our freshwater lakes continues to be as we deal with the runoff from recent rain events. as we have told you here on Texas Outdoor News, we bring you the good or better fishing forecast. If it's fair or poor, we're not mentioning it. And if your lake is not mentioned, it's because, based on this week's reports that have been compiled, fishing is not that good, and that happens when we have lakes that are on the rise. For example, Power Plant Lake, Coletta Creek of the three. Basically, it's a catfish event. Channel and blue cat are good on trot lines, baited with night crawler shrimp and minnows, and yellow catfish are good on trot lines, baited with live perch. Choke Canyon, black bass fishing is good there on deep running chartreuse crankbaits and watermelon rattle traps. Amistad Reservoir is also good for black bass, rattle traps, spinnerbaits, and topwater baits. Falcon, known as a big bass lake, well, right now crappie is the best bet. Good on minnows and blue tube jigs. Then we move to Lake Allen Henry, where just a couple of weeks ago, new share Lunker came in, and black bass fishing remains good on topwaters, worms, spinnerbaits, crankbaits. Catfish are good on cutbait, perch, and goldfish. Caddo, 6.4 feet high, but no report available due to the high water. But on Lake Conroe, it's about 3/4 foot high, and black bass fishing are good on chartreuse, Carolina rig soft plastics, spinnerbaits, and rattle traps. Catfish are good on minnow, shrimp, and liver. Lake of the Pines, no report, but 14.12 feet high. Livingston, about a foot high. Blue catfish are good on stinkbait, shrimp, shad. Sam Rayburn, 3.28 feet high. No real reports to speak of there on fishing. Wright Patman, over 32 foot high. My goodness. And that is not a real deep lake, so it really spreads out and is impacting a big, big area. Athens, black bass fishing is good on topwater, hollow body frogs, and swim baits. Catfish are good on trot lines and prepared bait. Lake Palestine, about 1.75 feet high. Hybrid stripers are good on slabs. Catfish are good on trot lines and cup bait. Richland Chambers, just about 1/3 foot high. Crappie fishing is good on chartreuse, jigs, and minnows. Tewakinee, about 1.25 feet high, catfish are good on trot lines. Texoma, just a skosh low. Black bass fishing is good on crankbaits, spinnerbaits, and popars. Crappie are good on minnows and white jigs. Heading to the hill country, Buchanan. It is about 4 inches low, and that is amazing. That means the entire Highland Lake chain is virtually full. Or in some instances, overfull. But on Buchanan, known for its stripers, well, this week It's catfish time, both for channel, yellow and blue catfish. Canyon Lake, black bass fishing's good on JDC, skipping topwaters, watermelon wacky sticks, and pumpkin seed. 1/4 ounce Curbs erratic jigs fished in 8 to 15 feet of water. Smallmouth bass, and this has a good smallmouth population, folks, are good on smoke tubes and root beer. JDC curly tail grubs with chartreuse tails along main lake points and ledges. Crappie is also good on white tubes and live minnows. LBJ, a constant level lake. Channel catfish are good on minnows and dip bait. Yellow and blue catfish are good on trot lines. Travis, no fishing report, but it is 1.3 feet high. Now heading to the coast. Well, I'll tell you what, winds this week have been light, and the freshwater continues to be a major story on Sabine, Trinity, Upper Galveston, on over into portions of West Matagorda. But if you get away from the freshwater, fish are stacking up around some of the mid-bay reefs. Captain Ryan Battistoni gave us that report. Unfair lures, Rip and Slash, and the Dog Walker have taken the majority of the fish. And he also fishes over in West Galveston Bay, which is another great place to fish. You can fish shell and mud bottom from, say, the Causeway to Karankawa Reef. But from Karankawa Reef towards San Luis Pass, you're talking about grass and sand bottoms. Out of Port O'Connor, Captain Trey Pry continues to put clients on trophy trout. Captain Kendall Kirsch is fishing mid-bay reefs in East Matagorda. He said that many of the fish spawned out on the last full moon. We've got another full moon coming up. I believe it's May 21st. Captain Nathan Bebout, who fishes out of Seadrift, San Antonio, and down towards Cedar Bayou, said things are really starting to turn on and seeing lots of fish around shell and grass areas. Captain Alan Sifford, King Ranch shoreline, from 3 foot deep to the shoreline. He's been catching some solid fish on Bass Assassins later in the day, starting the day with topwater baits. And finally, down on the lower coast, Captain Hincho Gutierrez Jr. says that long bar, both around the bars as well as off around the causeways and in the Brownsville Ship Channel, there's been some good fish caught, trout, redfish. Even saw a post, and this is interesting, as we continue to learn more and more about these unfair lures, saw a really nice, probably 4 to 5 pound class mangrove snapper caught on a Rip and Slash. And that is interesting because those are kind of finicky type of eaters, okay? Going to the Texas Outdoors Journal, Fishing and Hunting Times. Today, Saturday, is a best day. Sunday is a good one. Then Monday and Tuesday are two more best days, three for the week. Wednesday is a good day. Thursday slips to fair. Friday plummets to poor. Next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, are two more good days. All right, this weekend, look for game to be most active from either side of the noon hour until late afternoon. On Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, this major feeding period of the day will occur from early to mid-afternoon and continue until early evening or just after sunset. Then there is a major shift in time. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and next Sunday. Look for game to become active well before sunrise and continue to be active until mid to late morning. On next Friday, well, this past Friday, on May 6th, we had a new moon. Next Friday, we move into the first quarter as we move toward that full moon I mentioned on May 21st. On the coast this weekend, Saturday has a double tide schedule, two high and two low tides. This Sunday's a three tide day with two high tides and just one low. Monday has a double tide schedule. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are a trio of days with a single tide schedule. Friday has a double tide schedule. Saturday is another three tide day with two low tides and just one high. And then next Sunday has a double tide schedule. And I know you didn't write it down, and I know you didn't get all that information. So go to your local newsstand and pick up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal, or better yet, get you a subscription. On the hunting side, boy, it's winding down and we're about done. The last of the spring turkey seasons in the North Zone, 101 counties will run through May 15. Going on in East Texas is the annual spring squirrel season. And I tell you what a great way to spend time in the outdoors with a youngster, or take your 22 and go out and do a little hunting. Particularly in our national forest, it is a great time. You can shoot. You can practice taking rest. Lots and lots of these tips are provided in the Texas Outdoors Journal each month. And I tell you what, there's no better time to be out just kind of spending some time in the woods along some of those hardwood creek bottoms than during the spring squirrel season. And then finally, through August 31st, javelina season in South Zone, 50 counties of South Texas will continue until we start a new licensing season. All right, going to take a break. When we come back, Megan Rabelard, program manager from the Heart Research Center, will join us.
When it comes to rifle scopes, you get the most for your money with the all-new Zeiss Terra. When it comes to buying Zeiss, you get the most for your money at Carter's Country. The Zeiss Terra is the first mid-price rifle scope built to live up to Zeiss standards. All Zeiss Terra scopes feature one-piece construction, hard anodized surfaces, fully multi-coated lenses, and finger-adjustable windage and elevation, plus glass-smooth magnification adjustment with no change in eye relief. Carter's Country carries a wide selection, including the always popular 3-9, the 3-9x50, and the reach-out-and-touch-something 4x12x50 with a big light-gathering 50mm objective. All Zeiss Terra scopes carry a lifetime transferable warranty for the absolute best optical value for your money. Look no further than Zeiss Terra and Carter's Country. With four great locations in the greater Houston area, Carter's Country, where your great outdoors begins.
The weather's warmed, winds have laid, and fishing across Texas is heating up. Whether it's fresh or saltwater, Texas Outdoors Journal is your best source of timely tips, salooner and tide tables, as well as updates on patterns that'll keep you on fish. And even though it's prime time for fishing, Texas Outdoors Journal let hunters know of off-season opportunities as well as how to improve one's skills. These are just a couple of reasons why Texas Outdoors Journal has been named one of the top outdoor publications in Texas. In an annual competition held by the Texas Outdoor Writers Association, no other publication can make a similar claim. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save 60% off the cover price. To subscribe using a major credit card, call 1-800-222-4TOJ. That's 1-800-222-4865, or subscribe securely online at TexasOutdoorsJournal.com.
Hi, you're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson flying solo this weekend. And guess what? It is group participation time, so everybody gather around the radio and join me and say, hey, Port A. That's Port Aransas on Mustang Island, surrounded by pristine bays, estuaries, and the deep blue waters of the Gulf of Mexico. Port A is truly the fishing capital of Texas. Come fish, golf, and play Texas Island style. I tell you what, with the lighter winds, and to have lighter winds on the mid-coast is great, and that happens in May. Water temperatures are breaching that magical 70-degree mark. Fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder is starting to improve. Either side of the Corpus Christi Ship Channel, in behind St. Joe Island from the Corpus Christi Ship Channel, East Flats all the way down to Packery Channel. Great, great fishing. I mean, just some really pristine areas. Plus, we have not hit the time when the crowds have descended upon Mustang Island. So you can kind of have the island to yourself. Great rates still available at hotels, and really no wait for a table at great restaurants. Go to their website, portaransas.org, or you can give them a call at 1-800-45-COAST. And when you call, be sure and say, hey, Port A. All right, speaking of fishing, let me give you a little background. About 30 years ago, I was introduced to fishing little bays of airs and mesquite around a place called Cedar Bio, and it was phenomenal. And then the Cedar Bio area was shut down due to an oil spill in Bay of Campeche. And then there has been an ongoing effort for years by CCA and other concerned folks to have it reopened. And that finally occurred, I believe, in about September of 2014. Last spring, had the pleasure of taking a firsthand look and taking a look at what was taking place. And the reports have been absolutely phenomenal. Visited with Quentin Hall, who did his master thesis on the reopening of Cedar Bio. And when I was trying to run Quentin down, I found Megan Robillard, who is the program manager of Sport Fish Center Heart Research Institute at Texas A&M University Corpus Christi, and found out that Quentin reported to her, plus she also was involved with the Packery Channel Project. That's two of the most important reopenings to the Gulf of Mexico in recent memory, and we want to welcome Megan to Texas Outdoor News this morning. Welcome. How are you doing this morning, Megan?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks again, Bill, for having me on and talking about this topic that I've been very passionate about for about the last 10 years.
I tell you what, it is really exciting, and for those of us that love to fish, just from a lay perspective, to see the impact and know the impact that is taking place. But why don't you give us, let's start with Packery, because That's what reopened, and if someone, just to give our listeners a little breakdown, if they were to look at the Texas coast, we've got our barrier islands, and of course, you know, you've got San Luis Pass at West Galveston, you've got the Freeport jetties that go into a marsh and estuary, but coming on down from Pascavayo, there was really nothing until you hit the Port Aransas jetties.
Correct.
And then
yes.
Nothing from that point until you got down to East Pass at Port Mansfield.
Yep, that's right. And so the barrier islands, I mean, historically, before we had these inlets and things, with hurricanes and things, these passes would kind of open and close all up and down the Texas coast historically.
Sure.
Well, but recently, you know, the only ones that were open, right, were Pascavayo, Aransas Pass, and then, you know, another almost 60 miles south, you know, to East Cut in Port Mansfield. And so, so having these inlets is super critical, you know, to our fisheries in the bays and estuaries. And so I worked on a project, Packery Channels. That was when I was a fresh master's student, you know, here in Corpus Christi. And they were, you know, talking same thing, kind of like Cedar Bayou. This is a historic inlet that they wanted to dredge and actually reopen. And so I had the privilege of working on that. And so what we did was we kind of were trying to look at, well, what is that impact to, you know, the juvenile, you know, redfish and the juvenile flounder and blue crabs and pinnated shrimp. Because what all these species need is they actually need these inlets and they need these passes because they actually spawn out in the Gulf of Mexico. And then there's juveniles, they actually have to come back through these inlets and settle into our, you know, very productive habitats of seagrasses and marshes and things like that. And so without these passes, you know, they just don't have access to these wonderful nursery habitats that we have, you know,
sure,
around the Texas coast.
Timeline-wise, Emory serves me correct. Packery Channel reopened due to a storm and then finally completely dredged out. Wasn't it in like 2005?
Yeah. So I think it was, I was going back to remind myself, but yeah, it was July of 2005. There was a small hurricane that came through. I believe it was Hurricane Emily. And they had a little plug while they were still dredging and putting the jetties in and things. And that hurricane actually kind of pushed that plug open and the channel was flowing. And believe it or not, before it was even fully redredged, that fall when we were sampling, you know, for the juvenile redfish, we were seeing more redfish than we'd ever seen in that area, you know, beforehand. So that was really exciting, you know, to us to see, well, it wasn't even fully done. It wasn't even fully dredged. There was only about 3 feet of water, I think, going through there. But yet these redfish, you know, they were still finding their way to that inlet and settling into the really productive seagrass beds of the upper Laguna Madre.
So for those of us that bemoan the fact that, we can't keep the redfish that migrate when they reach sexual maturity to the Gulf, this really now allows Mother Nature to do her thing and allow the fry to come back into the estuary, right?
Yep, absolutely, right. So redfish are unique in that they, once they actually move offshore to spawn, they don't come back. So that's why we have those big, large, the spawning mass, as we call it, off there. And they key into these inlets. It's real interesting. They group up and they mate and they, for however they do it, but they find these inlets, they mate near these inlets. And then, right, the little larval and juveniles, then with all the flood tides that we get in the fall, they come on in through the inlets and they settle into those seagrass beds. And that's what allows them to grow and mature and, catch those subadults that we all love.
Absolutely. Listen. All right, well, listen, we're up against the mid-portion of the program, thinking about the mid-coast. When we come back, I want to touch on sea trout, and then let's move to Cedar Bio real quick. But, folks, we're going to continue our conversation with Megan Robillard right after this.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
Texas never stops. Thanks to the financial support of Capital Farm Credit, neither do the farmers and ranchers who call her home. Since the beginning, we've been helping Texans show the world what hard work can achieve. But the job is far from over. And as rural Texas grows, we'll be there, just as we have for 100 years. Learn more at CapitalFarmCredit.com.
Get ready, Texas. The Toyota Texas Fest, presented by JBL, is bringing country music's biggest stars. Lee Bryce, Kip Moore, Big and Rich with Cowboy Troy, Eric Pasley, Chase Bryan, Roger Krager, and more. Tickets start at only $10. Kids under 15 in free, and proceeds benefit the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. See you May 20th to the 22nd for music, food, and family fun at Toyota Stadium. For tickets, visit toyotatexasfest.com.
It's hunting season year-round here in Texas, and at Carter's Country, all four locations in the greater Houston area, you can pick up some great deals on ammunition to hunt with or to continue to practice with. For example, the Remington 22 Long Rifle Ammo Golden Bullet on sale, 100-round box, $7.97. The Federal Premium Target Pistol Ammo is on sale. It's a 50-round box, 9mm. $13.97, and for those of you that stay in practice, like I know you do, with a shotgun, the Estate line of target load shot shells on sale, $6.47. Plus, if you're looking for an affordable AR firearm, the Modern Sporting Rifle, 5.56, the Diamondback, newest key model rail system, free-floating barrel, less than $600 at $599.97. Just some of the great values always available at all four Carter's Country locations in the greater Houston area. Carter's Country, straight shooting since 1961. We continue our conversation with Megan Robillard, Program Manager of Sport Fish Center, Heart Research Institute, Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi. All right, when we were talking, you're mentioning when we went to break about the redfish going into Packery Channel, but then also, wasn't there some dynamics around sea trout?
Yeah, so we, about 3 or 4 years ago, we did another study where we were actually trying to track some adult spotted sea trout in the area. And so we use a different technology. I don't want to take up too much time, but basically this acoustic technology, we're able to actually implant these small acoustic transmitters into the fish, and then we have these listening stations in Packery Channel and throughout the Upper Laguna Madre, to try and figure out, where these fish were going. And we tagged about 30 surf trout, all up and down from about Packery, south all the way to Mansfield, from the beach there. And surprisingly, we had about 75% of those fish actually came in to Packery Channel itself. They came in and kind of meandered around Packery Channel, and then we think they just kind of went back out again, into the surf. So that was really exciting, so not only did the inlet, was it helping these juvenile fish, but also it kind of became this sort of, feeding ground, we think, for some of these surf trout, or maybe when they needed a break from, the rough surf, they came in and kind of, harbored in Packery area and then went back out.
Wow. All right, well, let's move from Packery Channel and move up the coast a little bit to what separates Matagorda Island and St. Joe Island, the reopening of Cedar Bayou, and almost immediately there was another dramatic change that occurred, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what we kind of like to say is that we think, you know, sort of the take-home message that we like to tell people is that we really think after, by them dredging and reopening it, it's really restored Cedar Bayou to its iconic status, you know, along the coast. And so it was the very same story, you know, that we saw with Packery, where all of a sudden, you know, we're seeing, we literally didn't catch, we caught zero small redfish before it was open. So redfish were not making it. Those little juveniles were not making it from Port Aransas or Pascavallo, you know, to that Mesquite area. And then afterwards, you know, we were seeing huge numbers of these juvenile redfish. And so there definitely are, you know, recruiting and coming through the inlet, which we're really excited about. And this year, we've been up there the last 2 years, and this year we're actually just kind of blown away because we've seen the highest numbers of these juvenile redfish in the Mesquite area that we've seen anywhere on the Texas coast. And we've been doing these for 10 years, you know, from Aransas Pass, you know, all the way up to there. We've about 2 to 3 times more little redfish than we've seen, you know, anywhere else in the seagrass bed. So we're very excited about what that potential really has for productivity of redfish, especially in the area.
When I was visited Cedar Bayou last April, was with Captain David Nessoloni, longtime veteran guide, mid-coast guide. And David was telling me shortly after the opening, when there was true flow, I mean, the dredging was complete, that they were finding trout stacked up in the surf and had some great fishing off the beachfront as well as from boats on light wind days in the surf, similar to what you were describing at Packery Channel, which is amazing. And that leads me to another point. Kind of, I don't want to get too deep into it because to take too much time, but at the Hart Research Center, you all have also done another study that may dispel all the old timers' thought that trout will migrate from the bays to the Gulf and then back in, when in fact you all are suggesting that those that live in the surf stay in the surf and those that stay in the bay stay in the bay. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that was a study we did a few years ago, and that was kind of that's what we think right now. And so we tagged, you know, about 30 fish in the surf, like I said, and then we did about 30 in the Upper Laguna Madre. And none of the bay fish, none of them ever moved out through the inlets. We didn't see any movement, you know, out of the inlets. And like I said, those surf trout, we only picked them up, you know, right at Packer Channel. We never picked them up any bit further in the bays. And so that was surprising to us. But you know, we don't think there's a lot of mixing between those.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to be looking at that, and maybe see if something's different. You know, up in Mesquite, we have about 25 trout actually tagged right now swimming around in Mesquite Bay area. And we have these same acoustic, you know, listening devices around. And so we're hoping to kind of see that and see if what we can find, see if they're moving, you know, through the inlet or not. But we just tagged those in December, and so we haven't had a chance to go out and look at those data yet. But yeah, we're hoping to kind of better answer that question. But that initial study, you're right, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of mixing between the bay and those surf trout.
All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about, let's stay at Cedar Bayou and talk about current and flow. It's always been my understanding when we have heavy runoffs on the Guadalupe River that comes into Guadalupe and Hines Bay, into San Antonio Bay, that prior to the reopening of Cedar Bayou, the outflow of that fresh water would be the intercoastal and out past Cavallo. Where I'm kind of going with this question is, now that Cedar Bayou is opening, do you all see any current or any data on trends that would suggest that some of that would come out through Cedar Bayou, further enriching Ayers and Mesquite Bay, or the disbursement of fish coming back in through Pascavallo? You follow where I'm going with this question?
Yeah, because obviously, you know, the whole system is obviously very dynamic and driven both from, you know, what's happening in the Gulf.
Sure.
And our freshwater inflow. You know, we haven't really looked at that specifically. I think that there, you know, some of the guys that, you know, actually did the engineering of it, you know, I think that they've looked at, you know, some of those hydrodynamics and what's really happening with the flow. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, having that other inlet, and it really does change sort of the dynamics, you know, for the better, because it's, you know, really restoring it to historically what it has always been. You know, so I'm not, I don't have a specific answer for you, but I would, I would, you know, think that, you know, it does have some sort of impact.
Sure.
With that, you may have noticed too that, you know, some people have already noticed that the mouth of Cedar Bayou, that kind of goes along with your question, it's a very dynamic system. And so when they did it, you know, they planned on it to move some. So where they initially dredged it when it was open in 2014, it's already changed and it looks very different than when they dredged it. So, but it was designed that way. It's functioning as a very natural inlet. But, you know, even though it's moved and things have changed, you know, we're still seeing really, really good.
That is the coolest design.
Yeah.
That is the coolest design for those. I mean, and I have a background in terrestrial land development, but still understand the dynamics of the flow of water and mm-hmm. it really is amazing how it does move. Going to the Heart Research Institute website, I was able to pull up, and that's heartresearchinstitute.org, and I did a search on Cedar Bio, and I came up with an online live stream of Quentin Hall's presentation. I'm assuming that there's other information online as well at y'all's site, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're the Center for Sport Fish Science and Conservation here at the Heart Research Institute. So their website, they have, you know, quite a bit of information. And we also have a website. It's just sportfishresearch.org. And we've got some other videos and some other things that we've done about, you know, Cedar Bayou and just a bunch of the inshore work, you know, that we're doing, you know, here at the center and at the institute.
Outstanding. That website again, Megan?
Is sportfishresearch.org.
Very good. Our guest today, Megan Robillard, Program Manager of Sportfish Center, Heart Research Institute, Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi. You need a longer title.
Yes, I know, right?
We do appreciate you, and look forward to visiting with you again in the future. Folks, we need to take a break. We'll be right back right after this.
You get 12 people around a table, and you'll have 24 opinions. That's just the way folks are. We've each got our favorite parks, favorite bars, favorite barbecues, and we're not exactly shy when it comes to our opinions. However, this year, the Texas Auto Writers Association got together at the Texas Truck Rodeo and agreed on not one thing, but several things. The Jeep Grand Cherokee Summit 4x4 is the midsize luxury sport utility of Texas. The Cherokee Trailhawk is the compact SUV of Texas. The Renegade Trailhawk is the compact crossover utility vehicle of Texas. And the Wrangler Unlimited Rubicon Hard Rock is the off-road utility vehicle of Texas. It should be no surprise that all it would take was a few Jeep brand vehicles to impress a table full of Texas auto riders. See the most awarded SUV lineup in Texas at your local Jeep dealer. The Jeep brand lineup has received more awards over its lifetime than any other competitive SUV lineup. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
If a burglar smashes into your house in the middle of the night, do you believe you have the right to defend yourself and your family?
If so, you need to join the National Rifle Association now.
Some say you shouldn't be allowed to have a firearm to protect yourself, even in your own home.
They say because criminals use guns to commit crimes, you can't have a gun to protect yourself from criminals.
If you disagree, join the one group big enough and strong enough to protect your rights. The NRA.
Call 1-877-NRA-2000 now to join NRA.
That's 1-877-NRA-2000. Or go to insureyourgunrights.com.
For $25, you'll get the magazine of your choice, insurance, and if you act now, NRA's 20-piece multi-tool free.
Join the NRA.
Save your firearms.
And stand up for your freedoms. Call 1-877-NRA-2000 now.
Or go to insureyourgunrights.com.
It's time for the outdoor calendar here on Texas Outdoor News. Got a bunch of fundraisers coming up, like the May 12th Kamal County Chapter Ducks Unlimited in New Braunfels. For tickets, 979-450051. Brush Country Chapter Ducks Unlimited in Floresville, 210-487-1665. That's on the 13th. The Texas A&M Corpus Christi Chapter Ducks Unlimited fundraiser, 830-285-9716. The huge event, the 29th annual Houston Chapter Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Big Game Banquet at the JW Marriott West Chase in Houston. For tickets, 713-697-6522. And go to those events in your brand new Ford truck. Folks, here's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. When I bought my new Ford truck, I also kept my old one that's still running great with over 385,000 miles. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. It is no wonder Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 39 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. Ford trucks have once again been voted the truck line of Texas by the Texas Auto Writers Association. Roomy, stylish, great attention to detail with a variety of power options are all reasons Ford F-Series continues to set the standard by which all others are compared. So do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best in Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means. Hey, you hear us talk about Carter's Country here on Texas Outdoor News, and you can check out their website at carterscountry.net. In addition to the weekly ads you may see, they also have red tag specials there on some special values on some firearms. And one that kind of caught my eye for someone looking for a deer rifle, the Ruger American Rifle, 270-308-30-06, just $359.97, or the Weatherby 52 Vanguard Sporter, 270-25-06, 30-06, or 308 for $689.97. Great values at all four Carter's Country locations in the greater Houston area. Carter's Country, straight shooting since 1961. I want to thank our guest today, Megan Robillard from the Heart Research Institute, Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi. Great information, Packery Channel and Cedar Bio. Harold will be back next week, and we hope you will rejoin us as well. Remember, we're brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Y'all be safe so you can join us again next week for more Texas Outdoor News.